Spout Lore is made possible by contributions from our listeners. If you would like to support us, go to patreon.com/spoutlore, where you can get extra bonus special content.
Gather round, friends, let me tell you a tale of three heroes, noble and bold. A brute, a druid, and a thief who is but 9 years old. You know them by name, you know them by deed. Their quests are famously daring. So here I sit, singing to you an adventure that is worth sharing.
Tuck is the brute, he knows not his home, he loves to sing and fight. Fingers half-elf, he shifts his shape and wields a spear with great might.
Billy's a thief, his tiny size does mask the largest heart. Best and brightest they may not be, but their friendship outweighs their smarts. So gather round, friends, and listen close, for the tale's about to start.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spout Lore. I'm your game master, Sean O'Hara. Joining me, as always, playing Tacoma Dome the Barbarian, Abdul Aziz.
Hello, everybody.
Playing Ving the Half-Elf Druid, Paul Oppers.
Hi there.
And playing Fat Billy the Halfling Thief, Jessica Tai.
Hello.
When last we left our heroes, they confronted Malgath, First Gardener, and current holder of the Cutting of the Heart Tree.
And kicked her ass.
And it ended with the party realizing that Malgath had been corrupted in some way by the icon of greed that was coursing through the tree for who knows how long. Billy put her to sleep with some oil of Taggart. Some might say too much oil of Taggart, putting an old woman into a coma.
I don't regret it.
Fucking deserved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, totally.
But it is very funny to just think about like a little kid just like pouring a bunch of liquid on a passed out elderly woman.
Especially because I know in Billy's head, he was like, I don't know if I put enough. So he's really like saucing her up.
Yeah, and we're just watching like, I don't know. I think that's probably, oh God.
Oh boy.
Ooh, can she still breathe?
Good job, buddy. Let's go.
You want to watch a video?
Figure this out.
Watch this video of cats on surfboards for a while. The cutting was retrieved by Ving and spoken to by Ving, given the name Ollie, standing for all names.
Cool.
And asked if the tree knew where Elman was. The tree had not seen Elman since it saw you. So Billy went on a stealth mission again to track down Elman, who is being held for questioning in some sort of manure laboratory.
Oh, I call it the dunnery.
The dungery.
Right. Oh, yeah, like the shorts.
Billy hid out in a trough of hay while the guards questioned Elman, mostly showing off a billowy cape that one of them was very proud of, before Ving used his animal-speaking skills to foster a rebellion amongst
Animal Farm.
Yeah, an Animal Farm-style rebellion amongst the animals who were being harvested for their dung. It worked wonderfully. Tuck threw a warthog at the guards, knocking Elman unconscious immediately after slipping in some shit, and the party escaped. Using some disguises of questionable quality, they escaped into the garden and then faced off with members of Dathaniel's Talon, Taurus and Lysander, Tuck and Ving taking one each as Billy was tossed into the hole in the earth to plant Ollie underneath the heart tree. Billy and Elman arrived in the chamber where the heart tree is to be planted, only to find that Hiddleston, the elf agent of the Sun Peaks and recent loser of an arm, was gone. And that is where we find our heroes now, deep beneath the earth.
Yes, where this man Hiddleston once was and is no longer.
And now there is like a pool of kind of like dark blood-soaked earth that drips off into the shadows.
Yeah, Billy walks up to the blood pool and he's like, he looks at Elmond, he's like, that's blood.
Pretty cool, huh?
Elmond nods excitedly.
Excitedly.
Well, he's like, yes, please. I'm excited to watch you in your natural adventures.
Right,
he's a fan of you guys.
Like, he's going a little bit white, like a little pale.
Mm-hmm. He's never seen so much blood, I bet.
The trees, I mean, people are buried down here. I feel like the blood is a good fertilizer for these trees.
It is the fertilizer. Yeah, like right? They are given bodies. So Elman kind of looks up at the branches and the roots and looks around and is like, oh, we're beneath the tree.
We are. And Billy pulls out the little sapling from the fanny pack and he says, I think we know how to fix this. We have to plant this little guy in place of the knowledge tree. I think it's the only way to heal the forest.
He nods. He looks at his cutting proudly. I think you're right.
He reads the rune on it that says, "My name is Ollie."
And Taint.
And also the word Taint.
Yeah. Wait, is his name Taint?
Did you name my cutting Taint?
Oh, no. That came up after.
And he nods to himself and he looks around and goes, "Yes, I think this is what it was meant for. And in several hundred, if not thousand years, it will be ready to take its place as a true knowledge tree."
Oh no, this is going to happen fast.
Huh?
Ving and I have special abilities.
I like that as a cut to the top. And Taurus and Tuck are struggling with each other, wrestling on the ground.
And Tuck's like, "Your breath smells like shit. Your breath smells like fucking shit."
And he's just glaring at you.
I guess Tuck will just headbutt this guy again as hard as he can. Try and make him pass out.
Yeah, hack and slash.
It's 10.
Okay. Yeah. You can deal your damage.
And can I take more damage to deal even more?
You absolutely can. Okay. So it's a D10 and a D6.
Oh, oh my God.
Let's fucking do this. 11.
Oh my God.
Does he die?
I cave his head in.
If you want to, it sounds like you might be able to kill him.
His head pops off of his body and rolls as far away.
A bunch of uses that and kicks it into the other guy.
A bunch of peds spill out. As always, you do not have to kill him.
Yeah, Tuck doesn't want to kill
him. But you'll take him out with this.
Yeah, okay, sick. Tuck.
Just
that's
off
like a one-inch punch, but with your head.
Yeah. You can hear your neck muscles like straining back.
Yeah, there's like a thing where like Tuck is grappling with him and they're like going back and forth. And he like remembers back to like in the library. And it's like an introductory lecture for new librarians when they were trying to get us to actually take classes.
Mm-hmm.
And Pharaoh was like, "The mind is the most powerful weapon of all." And then Tuck is like, "Of course.
I must use my mind."
Gong. And his eyes cross.
Oh my gosh.
Little birds twiddle around his head and he passes out.
And Tuck goes, Welcome to my mind, bitch."
And he looks around to see if anybody heard that.
Yeah. Ving quickly turns and pretends he didn't hear that.
And speaking of, we'll cut to Ving.
He just had...
"I hope you don't mind that I did that."
"I hope you don't mind" would have been a good line, but of course Tuck had to put a little bit extra on the end of it.
So Tuck knows that didn't hit exactly, so he tries again.
I look around. Nobody seems to have done it. So I go, "Oh, it seems like the mind is mightier than the pen."
Ving comes up and says, "Looks like you're the head of the class."
Fuck!
Cutting over to Ving.
He had just shot previously before Tuck... grappled.
Right. You shot at Taurus.
Taurus shot with an arrow.
So you shoot at Taurus.
I did.
You snatch the bow.
Mm-hmm.
Lysander says, "You're your father's boy." And you turn around, shoot at Taurus. Turn back, Lysander, gone.
Fuck.
Cool. I was like, his mother's son.
Wow.
But now all you have to deal with is the other guards that are like kind of hustling over.
Like the normal elf guards?
Yeah, normal, regular Heartwood City militia.
I haven't used this in a while. What are you waiting for? There was one where I could scare the shit out of them.
Wasn't
Warcry.
Warcry,
yeah. It's right underneath. What are you waiting for? Great. Well, I hope you don't mind that I didn't see that.
God damn it. Don't make this a catchphrase, please.
Warcry. When you enter a battle with a show of force, a shout, a rallying cry, or a battle dance, roll plus charisma on a 10 plus. Your enemies feel fear and act accordingly. Mm-hmm. And you, what's the other option?
Your allies are rallied and take plus one forward.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
That's what it is. It's not you, it's everybody else.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
Which is Ving.
Yeah. Yes.
And then also potentially Billy?
If you scream loud enough, Billy can hear you through the dirt.
Can I?
No.
Absolutely not.
There's a hole.
There's holes.
There's a hole.
You said that there were holes.
There's a hole in the bottom of the tree.
Yeah.
All right.
Said that there were holes.
All right. I've been cowed.
Yeah.
You still got to roll it.
Oh, shit. That's a 4 that I rolled.
fuck.
But it's
all together?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But it's plus charisma, so that's a 3, so I got 7.
Okay. Oh, very good. Nice.
Yeah.
So your allies are rallied and take +1 forward, or your enemies feel fear and act accordingly.
Enemies feel fear.
Okay. So acting accordingly in the case of trained soldiers, it's the avoiding you. Like they are kind of circling around you, but they're all keeping their distance. So what is your war cry here?
I think I like took after he gets up and he like looks around
to see if anybody heard him doing his lines.
Yeah. He gets so mad that nobody heard his sick lines. He's like, fuck. So he wants to get everyone's attention. So he picks up Taurus by the front of his tunic and he like whips him at a giant group of guards.
Oh God.
Yeah. And the ones that don't get hit by this massive elf that got tossed through the air like a sack of rice. Mm-hmm. Hold out their spears and sort of like spread out in front of you.
And I do, what are you waiting for?
Okay.
When you cry out a challenge to your enemies, roll plus constitution on a 10 plus, they treat you as the most obvious threat to be dealt with and ignore your companions. Take +2 damage ongoing.
All right.
Okay, that's 14.
Fuck yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I look insane because I just threw a giant elf at them. And then I have a huge axe, and then there's just an axe in my arm.
So what is your, what are
and
you
And then
waiting?
He goes, hope you didn't mind the extra company.
Yeah, and then they all...
Billy laughs from below.
And they all rush you.
What are you skulking for? Wait.
Nice.
Sure. Skull
King.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Okay.
Fuck!
That feels really good.
It's such a funny reaction.
That's a cool combo of move uses, though. Like, scaring them off by throwing Taurus so they all kind of spread out around you like it's a Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah.
And then going, come on! And they all rush in on you.
Sean, can I quickly roll, because a fight's about to pop off, another fight with honor?
Yeah. This is something I've always wondered with Fight with Honor. Does it count if you're like running up behind somebody, or is it a like you're facing down people?
I mean, samurais ran up behind people and they fought with lots of honor.
Yeah. And if you try and make an argument that they didn't fight with honor,
you are a racist.
Yeah.
You're not Japanese.
Whoa. I can't believe you would say that.
Sean, I'm only like...
At least say the whole word Japanese next time.
That's what I said.
Sean, I can't believe you would tell a half Chinese woman that she's not Japanese. That's crazy.
That's like if we said that you're not even a little bit Scottish.
We're not even sure where my Chinese grandpa came from. He could have come from Japan.
That's true.
I don't know.
That's true. You're not wrong.
Oh my God. You deleted her history.
Paul deleted my Scottish history. I am kind of Scottish.
Wow. There was once a man in 1943 who said the same thing.
Yeah.
And that man was Schindler's List.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Schindler's List.
Oh, I guess somebody wants to live in a world without color.
I gotta be honest with you guys, I don't even remember what I said.
I don't remember either, honestly. I'm so sorry.
So roll your fight with honor.
Great. I got 11. So 3 great. Chi.
Yeah. So in my head there's like
I just also realized they don't have the context for why the mind pun is funny.
Of course they don't.
Only Taurus would know that.
Yeah. No, he wouldn't know it either because you knocked him unconscious and then said it.
Oh, only right. That guy knows. Ask him.
Wake him. Oh, never mind. Okay. So they're rushing in at Tuck, and what, Ving appears behind them?
No. They're just rushing into him, so he's using their focus on Tuck to take out a couple guys.
Yeah, totally.
I'd like to deal damage to a foe within sight. As they're running into Tuck, I, without looking, grab the axe out of Tuck's arm and huck it at the leader of the charging group.
Yeah, totally. So you only got to roll. Yeah, you only have to roll your damage.
3.
3. It digs deep into one of them. Yeah, hits him in the leg and he like stumbles as the rest of them rush ahead of him. But that guy's, he's not dead, but he's wounded.
And slowed the other guys down.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Tuck, what do you do?
So they're all running at me?
Yes.
The lead guy's down.
Yeah, one is like stumbled and fallen behind.
So when they start running at me, I start running at them too. And then the warthog is crossing my path.
Oh my god.
I pick him back up.
I forgot the animals are right. Everywhere. Yeah, yeah.
There's animals.
Yeah. Rampaging.
I pick him up and he looks like a teacup pig in my arms because of the relative sizes. Yeah. And then I'm like, you failed me once before, warthog. Not again. And then I kiss it on the lips.
On the lips?
And then I go, fly true, my friend.
Your breath smells like shit.
Breath smells like fucking shit. As I'm running at them, throw the warthog, and then I'm still running so I can like meet them. Chariots of Fire.
Okay, yeah, roll a volley, I guess.
Oh, fuck.
This is what it always is when you throw stuff, man.
9.
Yeah.
So a volley on a 7 to 9.
I'll aid.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
How are you aiding this?
Talk to the pig.
Yeah. It's like, arms up, Superman. You can do this. You're freedom.
2d6 plus bond.
I failed that.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
You failed that pretty bad.
I failed that really bad.
A volley on a 7 to 9. Choose one. You have to move to get a shot, placing you in danger. You have to take what you can get, minus 1d6 damage, or you have to take several shots, which you can't do because it's one pig.
I'll move myself into danger, obviously.
Yeah, that's great. You're basically already running into a group of people.
Yeah.
So roll your damage, plus 2.
Fuck yes.
It's right. Throws a pig. Pigs up!
For...
Yeah, you absolutely annihilate one guy with a warthog. Like, you throw it and you run... So the pig is like basically above you, just above you, your whole arc. You plant a fist in the face of the guy that gets hit by the pig, making sure he stays down. And now you are mobbed by the rest of the guards, except for the guy that Ving hit with the axe, who yanks it out of his leg and throws it at Ving.
Whoa.
Roll a d6.
Me?
From your failure.
Uh-oh.
2.
So you take 2 damage from this axe.
I have armor of 2.
Yeah. Yeah, you just dodge it.
Oh, ooh. Sick. Oh, you oh do like God. The cool like.
Sick.
Oh, you see some chest hair like. Fling, ling,
oh.
Ling,
oh.
Gently
oh.
Fall to
razor
the ground.
Razor sharp axe.
Yeah. My 2 chest hairs.
You just had the 2.
Yeah, I was growing those. Fuck.
And the chest hairs float down to the ground and are caught on an underground eddy going down a hole in the earth to a chamber beneath the heart tree.
Oh my
where
God.
We find Billy and Elman. What do you need from me to make this plan a success?
I guess, I mean, I don't know where to plant this. Where is the best spot? Because we have to make sure that this, like, we only have one chance.
Hmm. Roll a discern realities.
8.
Okay, so you get one question.
What here is useful or valuable to me?
Elman paces around. It's hard for him to see because, you know, there's a little bit of light filtering from above, but it's not terribly bright
down
here.
Can I create a little will-o'-the-wisp?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
The light cat appears and paces around the chamber with Elman as he looks and is, like, touching roots. And as he, like, places a hand on sort of one of the thicker roots of the tree, you can see him wince a little bit.
Oh.
This tree is sick. But the soil is good. He, like, kneels down and sort of swirls a hand on the soil, like he pulls up a handful of earth and a little bit of rotted root crumbles in his hand.
So that's supposed to happen? The tree rotting?
Not at this pace, but this soil still contains the remains, the memories, the work of hundreds of gardeners. I think we can do it here.
Okay, so Billy starts digging.
Next to where Elman cut the hole, Billy's just like...
Yeah, he uses his small hands.
Yeah, totally.
I've built many sandcastles, so I'm really good at digging.
I would like to see one of these sandcastles one day.
Well, I can do one right now.
Where's my bucket? I wish I had my bucket.
My bucket, fuck.
And Elman takes Ollie from you and gently, so gently removes like the pot.
Okay, Billy from the roots. Stops building because he's like, oh, this is a big deal. And also he's like, there's my bucket.
And he places the pot on the ground next to Billy.
Billy takes it.
And literally like an era defining moment in the history of the civilization. And you're just like, and there's going to be a little flag on top.
His brain is split 2 ways. He's like, immense, powerful moment. And then he's like, but sandcastle.
Yeah, totally.
Phenomenal cosmic power.
And he lowers the cutting with its root ball into the earth. And you can see the tendrils already like reaching into the soil as he mounds the soil back in place.
Vin can feel it up top.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you feel this like connection with the soil that the cutting is making, this new knowledge tree taking root in this ancient place, you suddenly feel like a spike of anxiety in your chest. You feel the earth rumble a little bit and you hear a groaning. And you realize it's the tree is resisting.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
What do you do?
Billy could defend.
Whoa. Defend Ollie? That's sick.
That's pretty
so
fun.
Cool. Yeah, let's do it. So what is defend?
Okay. Yeah. Defend. When you stand in defense of a person, item, or location, roll plus constitution.
Yes.
Okay.
2d6 plus con.
Oof.
Fuck. I got 6. Oh, this is bad.
Okay.
I can aid. Ving, we already established that's a connection as well.
He's feeling it too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
How do you aid?
I hear Ollie call out.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Does he say something?
I think he says something like, it might be kind of cliched, but I think he says something like, it's too strong. You know, like that kind of shit where he's like, I can't. Like,
I'm just
like,
a little guy.
Yeah, I'm only small.
Aww.
And you also hear like from the other tree, this like massive chittering sound, like not even words.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like, it's almost like the sound of creatures coming from far away and like their claws.
Yeah.
Oh, so even the creatures... evil murmurs from the reaches of this rotten tree are echoed through the wood to Ving. He hears the echoes of the chirps, the rotten chirps of the forest gone bad.
Because they would sense something new and pure and they'd be like consumed.
Yeah, totally.
And like we established last episode that like at the edges of the woods, all the rotten things that the tree is supporting like are starting to like wither.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like some of the really evil things, the more sentient things would be dashing towards the heart too.
Oh, totally. Shit. To protect it. Yeah.
To protect it. There could be a gathering of awful things.
Right.
Yeah. It's like wasps returning to the hive.
Gross.
2d6 plus bond.
Yeah. Oh, fudge.
Oh,
oh no.
Damn.
Shit. What did you get?
I got a 4 plus my bond is 5.
Fuck.
Ah.
This is not okay. This is not how it's supposed to be.
Well, you know what? It is a big fucking tree.
Yeah. That's true.
Sorry for cursing everyone.
No, it's okay.
Okay. So I think that Billy, you're like reaching out against like greed, like this field of greed that is washing over you. The tree is resisting. This place is like soaked in this iconic influence.
Yeah.
The greed, it's reaching out to you, but more specifically, it's reaching out to the fairy.
Oh.
And it's, and what
really
does the
hard.
Fairy want?
To sleep.
It wants to change, to sleep.
Yeah.
So it's like, do you think the fairy in Billy is trying to shift because after spring, of course, comes summer? Or is it trying to jump right to winter because it's been so long?
Oh, that's a good, that's a good question. Oh, you know what? I was saying this to Sean earlier. Billy has held out for so long because he felt the child like deserves a family. And like that's what he like kept him alive for. And he went a really long time without it.
Mm-hmm.
But Billy's had that family now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The kid or whatever.
The deal is fulfilled.
It's like, it's almost like the pinky promise has been, the oath has been fulfilled.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
The wheel wants to turn now.
Yeah.
Like you locked the wheel, like the wheel of like the seasons.
Yeah.
Because you were like, you made the deal. You made the fairy deal with the kid where you're like, I'll get you a family. And that's what was locking the wheel for you.
Yeah,
and now you have to.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. So it's like Billy has put his own stopper into it.
Yeah.
And so
it's like a water wheel and you're not pouring the water on it, but the water is now flowing without your control. I like that a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So I think this force is like reaching out to you. As this, you feel this wheel turning inside you as the fairy is like...
Is it like the stopper like pops
out? I think it pops out. And you breathe out and your breath mists in front of you.
Oh, no.
And you see frost creeping out around your feet.
Oh, shit.
And your eyelids feel heavy.
What? Oh, my God. I'm fine. I'm fine. Hey, don't come near me or whatever. I don't know. Just stand over there, Elmond. Just stand with the tree. I'll back up. I'll back up.
Yeah, and you step behind it and you feel the ground like crisp and crunch underneath you.
I mean, did Ving go down there? Was that...
Right? Because you were trying to get down there. So then I guess you wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
You felt something happening.
I was going to reach
out. And
you
reached out to try and stop it.
Okay.
Yeah, but you weren't able to. And now you know Billy's down there. Something's wrong. He's alone.
I could use both of my holds to cross a distance between me and a foe. I still have two holds for my fight with honor.
Yeah. Okay. So you feel Billy beneath you. In danger, and you just slam into the ground.
Gotta go.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. Looking in my head.
Yeah.
Where you're just Superman, superhero landing kind of thing. Just shatter the ground beneath you.
Tuck, Billy. Boom. Through the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we were saying that you're spending, those are your holds.
My two holds I spent.
Yeah. Cross a distance and break through a physical obstacle. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
And the ceiling of the chamber opens above you, Billy. Your eyes are honestly, mainly because of what Billy said when Greed asked what he wanted, I feel like your eyelids are getting heavy.
I know, he's definitely doing the sleepy thing, where he's whoa.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
And this feels nice.
Feels good, but he's got his eyelids open. He's got constant vigilance.
Yeah. He's propping his own eyelids open.
Where your eyes are too open when you're sleeping. You're just I'm not sleeping.
I'm not tired.
So unfocused, you're not focused on anything.
A little kid saying that he's not tired.
Yeah.
As the ceiling, you hear a crash above you, mm-hmm. and sunlight fills the chamber as Ving plummets from above. Ving, you land on the ground underneath, and you see Billy frosting over like a car in a parking lot.
Don't worry about it. I just wouldn't touch me right now. Because I don't know if it's contagious. Mm. I think I just have a cold.
Just icicle, literal ice pouring
out. Just have a little cold.
Yeah.
Is the boy shivering at this point?
He is shivering, but not because he's cold.
Oh. All right.
I'd like to use Eye of the Storm to exert my will in a circle around me. Roll plus con on a hit. The world calms. 7 to 9. The effect only... It affects only what I touch as long as I'm touching it.
Can you use it to still the
that's
wheel?
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Eye of the Storm. Okay.
Okay. So I got 10.
Okay.
Ooh.
So you exert your will around you.
Yes. And the world calms.
Mm-hmm. I would say you can either use it to halt the tree in its resistance, or you can stop what's going on with Billy.
Yeah, I'm going to choose Billy.
Okay.
Aww.
So what does this look like?
I mean, in this very spiritually loud and tumultuous moment with the tree screaming and he's in his home world, mm-hmm. and the stuff with his dad, I kind of want to land in this weird superhero move. And I would like to walk up to Billy and pick up his fairy child.
From the body?
From the shadow dance.
Oh, that makes sense.
Somehow. In this calming of this world, and take him just aside and try to calm him and warm him and comfort him and let the boy Billy not freeze to death.
Yeah.
Just to put some distance between you and the Fae.
I think you were bang on. I think the body, the physical body, is maybe reacting poorly to this situation. So mm-hmm. removing the fairy from the body saves both in this mm-hmm. moment.
Yeah. And then holding the fairy and calming it. To get the wheel to stop turning before you put it back. Because mm-hmm. The body can survive without the fairy in it. That's mm-hmm. what Shadow Dance is.
Yeah.
So what does the fairy look like when, at this point, when the wheel is turning inside it? What does it look like when Ving removes it?
This is it looks like the first snow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really just sparkly, soft,
mm-hmm.
cool,
quiet.
So what does Ving do? He's got this fairy in his hands.
Bing asks it if he wants to play a game.
A game?
Yeah. What do you want to do? You want to play some catch? You want to hide and seek? What are you looking for?
I like to chase.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And then Bing starts kind of jauntily running backwards. I bet you can't catch me.
I bet I can catch you.
I bet you can't.
I bet I can.
I turn.
The snow follows and the winds pick up.
And I'm running around. Being chased and picked up by the wind and put back down.
And the flurries grow. I love to chase.
My hair is blowing all over the place.
I bet you're cold right now.
I'm pretty cold. I'm actually really, really cold.
The wind picks up more. The snow gets thicker and it's you have to let me catch you.
Okay. And Ving stops.
And then the fairy swirls around you, mm-hmm. and ice starts to form around you.
In this realm, can I transmute my body into a form made from the raw elements in the spiritual realm?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to turn into the ice bear.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah, 2d6 plus constitution, I think, for elemental form.
I got a 9.
2 hold.
I gather the wind. It's like not a solid bear. It's kind of like a misty wind and frosty. Mm-hmm.
The winter likes this, so he helps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he's starts frolicking more just to get him to play, trying to play him out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And one of those hold will definitely go towards enduring this bitter cold.
It's very cold.
That winter is bringing to you.
And winter says, I know what you're doing. You can't distract me.
I don't want to distract you. I want Billy to be safe. And I wanted a chance to thank you.
For what?
For giving me the chance to get to know him and you. And for being our friend and our family for all these years. It might not mean to you what it means to me, but it's important for me to say it to you. Thank you.
And Winter like bristles at that. I don't do well with feelings. If you want me to go, you have to trade.
What would you like?
What would you like? I know you want something from me. Do you want time?
I would like some time.
But I can come back, right?
I don't think there's anything in this world or any other that's going to stop you. Thing takes a bit of his arm and throws it at the fairy. A snowball.
It catches it.
We're playing catch.
So, yeah, the winter throws the snowball back. Okay. I'll leave for now.
You know where to find us.
Yeah, it just dissipates.
And the snow bear falls to the ground.
Does Billy wake?
Yeah, and he's like, Billy is like,
Bing, close the window.
It's fucking freezing.
Why
in here.
Is it so cold?
I'm literally freezing.
It was so cold. Why am I sitting in so much water?
It's
so bright.
You're waking up like an angry kid that pissed the bed.
Yeah.
Who did this?
I didn't pee my pants. I might have peed my pants. What'd you do to me?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you give him time? Mm-hmm. Like
the fairy gifted him time.
Yeah. But was it time for Billy to continue to be Billy?
Time with Billy.
But it wasn't crystallized time or anything. Mm-hmm.
No, okay. Billy's still required for that, but he gave Ving the gift of more
which
time
he
with
added
Billy.
To his body, the promise of time.
Yeah. So the fairy basically traded the game for time.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
And as Billy and Ving, as you sort of reconnect, you hear Elman go, help! It's dying!
The tree!
And you turn and you see the sapling has begun
to
wither.
Ollie!
We'll cut back up to Tuck. Fists. Just fists and boots. They're fighting you with fear-driven abandon. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them have like cast away their weapons and are just wailing on you.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Do I feel anything that happened is going on below?
You don't feel a fucking thing.
Whoa. Fucking stupid idiot.
Feel so left out.
Okay.
I mean, what you do feel is about half a dozen pairs of fists and boots wailing into your body.
Yeah, it's probably good he doesn't know what's happening. He'd lose his fucking mind.
Yeah, he would have chopped down this tree already. That's something we never considered.
Is just chopping the tree down.
Tuck just chops the whole thing down.
It's the size of
the house from Home Alone. Yeah, I know.
So much chopping.
That's not that big. Yeah. That wouldn't take that long.
Okay, what is Tuck? Yeah, what do you do?
I think Tuck just like goes into like full on like close quarters fight mode.
Right.
He threw the pig at one of them. they all like tackled him. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just like a full on like Donnybrook, like where it's just like everyone
a fucking bench clearer.
Yeah. Everyone just dropped their gloves and started like fucking wailing, and they kind of start fighting each other too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like street kid tuck. This is like fighting in an alley, life or death.
Totally. Yeah. But yeah, he just like, it's like punch, block, punch, kick a guy into the tree. He leaves a pretty bloody imprint.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Grab one guy, throw him into another guy.
This is hack and slash straight up.
Stomp, break a guy's leg.
Jesus Christ.
Just like really close. It's just close quarters, fast fighting.
Yeah.
It's 10.
Okay. So you deal your damage.
And then I also do want to take more damage.
Okay. Oh. So
he's in the mosh.
How much? Oh. How many points do you have left?
I have 13 left.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
it's gonna be a long day.
What did I say earlier? It was
D6 and D6
for one of these guys?
Yeah.
So it's a D6, but there's a ton of them. It usually adds like guaranteed damage basically when you're being piled on.
Okay. Oh.
And it's usually for each one.
Do it.
Guaranteed damage to the tuck?
It would be like, you know, D6 plus guaranteed damage.
No. Do it.
This makes sense.
Okay.
What did I say? Oh, I did say half a dozen, didn't I?
Okay. There's 6 left.
So I guess it would be plus 5.
Okay. Great.
So 1d6 plus 5 damage.
Okay. Can I roll my damage first?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. 11.
Okie doke.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
D6 plus 5.
6. And then I have 3 armor, so I only take 3.
Holy fuck. That's unreal.
Oof.
So this is like, it's exactly like you described. 3 of them are just like, you just snap a leg. You kick a dude into the tree. He crumples to the ground.
Yeah.
You reach out and you grab and crush something.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like a, this is a pure situation for Tuck. Because no matter where you swing, it's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just go fucking buck wild.
Yeah. And
berserk mode, basically.
Totally. Yeah. I'm in berserker mode. Yeah. And I think it's the kind of thing where TLC are sort of like guiding me, where it's like, no matter where I hit something.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Great. So yeah, you deal with 3 of these dudes, just rip them apart.
And some of them are stabbing me and stuff.
Yeah.
With like 3 tiny knives.
Yeah. 3 of them you don't feel.
Yeah.
Great. So yeah, you've dealt with 3 of these. Like there are 3 of these guys left. They're terrified.
Yeah.
Some of them are starting to consider, you can see in their eyes, the animal fear of like, run, run, run. So some of them are starting to consider running away.
Tuck's just like, let's finish this.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
2d6 plus strength.
So Tuck's like thing now is he's like, the smart people are downstairs trying to figure out what's...
Yeah. I'm going to keep the dumb ones up here.
Yeah.
I was thinking, also, it'll make sense, like, you know, overall, because with the spiritual stuff, and then Tuck is like the mortal man dealing, like you're like the dad having to do this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you do a lot of the emotional heavy lifting as well.
He's the step. Dad's running out of the house with the baseball bat across the street.
Totally.
Langford dad mode right now.
Yeah. As I'm beating them up, I'm like, I'm not a stepdad. I'm the dad that stepped up.
Oh my God. Can you tell me what marker that's at?
Stepdad's everywhere crying.
They lift up their shirts. It says Tuck on it.
There's only 3 of them. Yeah.
There's one guy. It says TU.
Yeah.
K's late.
Show up. Yeah.
K's late.
K's late.
He's
sorry.
On the bus. He got a DUI.
He got a DUI. He can't drive.
He lifts up his shirt that says DUI on it.
It's a T-U-D-T-D-U-I. I don't get it.
T-D-U-I.
All right, 2d6 plus strength.
But yeah, the goal here is to clear the garden so that no more guards are left over so that Billy and Ving can finish this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's 15.
Whoa.
Oh, wait. Yep, 15.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot.
Oh,
was
they
that
dead.
That's boxcars?
That's boxcars.
And then plus 3?
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Fudge.
Okay. Go ahead and roll your damage. I assume you're going to take more damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's 10 plus 2 is 12.
12.
Yeah.
And then you're going to roll D6 plus 2, I guess.
I only take 1 damage.
All right. So you take care of the remaining 3. What does this look like?
This is amazing.
Tuck is so deadly. Like he just
my God.
He just cruises around making dick jokes half the time. He might be one of the greatest living warriors, but he's just like, fucking look at my balls, bro.
Yeah, he mooned the Elven court literally like a week ago.
Oh, that was a week ago.
Just amazing. All right, yeah.
He like punches one guy out, like just straight lays
dead.
Him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another guy he grabs and throws into the tree, and then the last guy, before Tuck like kills him, he's mm-hmm. just like, hey, not sure if you're possessed or not, but if your demon goes back to the Iconic Realm, tell the Gibbous Man I'm coming for him.
Whoa.
And then he kicks his head off.
What?
Holy shit.
What?
Holy fuck. Tuck is very strong. And yeah, you're just standing there surrounded by bodies.
Oh my
Catch
God.
The head.
It goes over the wall of the cloister.
Yeah.
And then Finn is driving by in a carriage outside.
Nice.
It smashes through.
And lands on his lap.
And goes, lands
Mommy! We like harmonized that.
That was, yeah. That was good.
Yeah.
And back below the earth, under the tree, Elman is like basically moving his hands around the tree. He doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He's panicking.
Thing touches his arm.
It's dying.
Here. Pulls out the sunstone torch and the well water from Hibernia.
Oh.
Nice.
And he reaches out and grasps those things.
Thing takes the ring off and puts it on Elman so he can talk to Ollie.
Oh.
Here. Talk to him. This is Ollie. Ollie, Elmond. Elmond, Ollie.
Have a conversation with yourself, Sean.
I think all Elmond says, because he understands in the moment what he is able to do now.
Yeah.
All he says is, tell me what you need. And Ollie does. He delicately pours the water from Hibernia in a circle around where Ollie has been planted.
Smeared on the sack is a bunch of the shit from the shit shack.
Huh?
Smeared on the sack that he tumbled down the hole from.
Right. Smeared on the sack is manure.
Yeah.
The highest quality manure that mm-hmm. the garden...
What'd I say?
You just said smeared on the sack is shit from the shit shack.
I thought it was a really
like,
cool sentence
I thought
also.
I like a tongue twister. Yeah. I was like, what?
All of my
smeared
twisters
on the sack
are tongue
shit
twisters.
From the shit shack. And he works some of the manure into the soil. Using his gardener experience to pick out, you know, he like is smelling it basically and rubbing it between his fingers to find the highest quality stuff. And then he's using the sunstone torch almost like it looks like he's like wanding the plant at the airport. Like he's kind of like passing it over the plant, which is helping. You can see some of the leaves are returning to a somewhat more vibrant life with the protection of the sunstone, but it's not enough.
Can Billy come in and try lightning in a bottle, which I think is what I did in the spirit world?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and it's what you've done on Hibernia. This is a thing that Billy has done before.
Okay. I roll plus dexterity.
And you're doing this to push time into the tree?
Yes. Yeah. I think so.
But what if it pushes, if he's not doing good and we push time, then it could die faster.
Right. If I push, because it's like,
right.
There's something that's not, it's not thriving. So yeah.
Knowledge.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to transfer the ancient knowledge of the original knowledge tree to Ollie. Would that work?
Yeah. I guess you could pull the knowledge.
You do that all the time.
The memories like out of the soil. Yeah. And feed it to Ollie. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Plus dexterity.
Yes. 11.
Okay.
So, is there any water left?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit in the container.
Yeah, Billy takes that and sort of like how he knit the Widdershins and the Sunwise, he does that between Ollie and the original tree.
Mm.
Oh.
Cool. So it creates this like you can see
like a pattern?
Yeah.
Yeah, flowing.
So like an infinite pattern flowing.
Yeah. And what does it look like once the knowledge begins entering the water? What is like the physical manifestation of the knowledge?
The tree is like sucking up the water and the runes are coming up in like little like, what do you call it? Like
columns?
Yeah, like columns, like little rivers that go up and it's like writing itself up the tree.
Oh, that's really cool.
Mm. Cool.
So like as the water passes over the sapling, like the runes are forming behind the water.
Oh, that's
sick. Really cool.
Up the bark.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
That's really cool.
And the tree is growing like faster, it feels like, than it should be, even though you haven't like put time into it yet.
Yeah.
It's like you can see like the layers, the rings forming, like runes will go up and then like
it's like writing a book super speed.
Right, yeah. Like
the bark grows over and over and
it's
over.
Pressing the knowledge into itself.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So the knowledge begins pouring into the sapling.
Yeah, and the water like gets pulled into the earth and then like comes out in other parts, and the river grows bigger, I guess, around it as the roots start to spread out.
That's sick.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Elman, from where he was on his knees next to the sapling, like gets up and starts to move away as the water courses stronger around the sapling.
Is it working?
It seems to be. Yeah. Something about like having this connection to the ancient knowledge of this place is strengthening the sapling.
And Billy runs his fingers through the water, kind of still guiding it, but then he'll flick out sometimes like his hand as if he's like removing the impure stuff.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
That's pretty cool.
Whoa. That's sick.
So yeah, Billy weaves this infinite current from the old knowledge tree to the sapling. Elman gets up from his place next to the cutting as the water starts to flow stronger and stronger, drawing the old knowledge from the tree to the new growth. And Billy is like hunched over the water, sort of removing impurities and debris.
And Billy beckons Elman to come back, and he's like, it needs the sunstone.
Oh, so Elman crouches down next to Billy and continues this sort of wanding.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted Ving to add, because knows that the gardeners are so anchoring part of this tree, he takes one of the arrows that he has and cuts his palm, and he knows that he's got his mother's blood is part of him.
So
it would recognize you then.
And she would recognize, and it would, yeah.
Whoa.
And it would recognize me and her through me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he gives some drops of his blood and Ileana's blood. I know that he's something else.
No, but I think that this works. This tracks for sure.
Yeah.
Because she did tend the tree for a while.
Yeah.
So it would recognize, yeah.
The memory of him and his father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
He's all of it. I do think I want like a wisdom, like a 2d6 plus wisdom.
Right.
To see sort of what this means.
Yeah, I got 6.
Ooh, I will aid.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
2d6 plus bond.
9.
Thank you, Billy.
All right. Yeah, the drops hit the water and are carried away and it's flowing.
They join the current.
They do.
Yeah. And so that has this red...
Yeah, this sort
in amongst
of
the water.
Red ribbons.
Yeah, red ribbons.
Yeah.
You see like a red streak start forming through the tree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoa, cool.
Sick.
Where Ving has cut himself on the hand, Ving doesn't know why, but his hand heals in the rune that says his mother's name.
Whoa, cool.
Whoa, sick.
And you feel whatever like tenuous connection you felt to the old tree, you feel a stronger connection to the young one. And Elman looks up. His eyes are glittering. It's like, it's working. It's working. And we cut above. Tuck, you have a sea of corpses around you. This hole in the earth yawns before you. You know Ving went down there.
Mm.
You can assume.
Yeah.
Is the earth still crumbling where Ving entered?
Oh, still crumbling. Oh, because the tree is still attempting to resist because, like, the tree is still fighting.
Tree's still resisting, right?
So I think as you're standing up there, the hole that Ving created begins to form a chasm. Like, chunks of earth are falling in.
Yeah.
In front of you.
As Tuck is watching this, he can feel sort of, like, the resistive effects of the ghost root starting to wear off.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, his, like, iron will or whatever.
Yeah. Sorry.
So excited.
The table just lifted by 7 to 8 inches.
You feel the effects of the ghost root begin to leave you. And as the lamplight hour arrives in your mind.
Dusk now?
Oh, yeah.
Time has passed.
Yeah.
And time is being wended in some way around you.
Mm.
As the lamplight hour begins, in your mind's eye, flames begin to lick up the tree in front of you.
Whoa.
Engulfing the branches above.
So Tuck takes this as like, you know, he still knows he's fucked, right? Like, he basically hasn't slept in weeks.
Yep.
And he's got a -1 constitution, and he knows that like this is like the effect of like the coin in his chest and the tree. He knows the tree is doing something.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. And now that you said I think you hear sounds in the earth and on top of the walls around you. Imps.
Imps? Oh, are you fucking kidding me?
Begin crawling over the wall.
Whoa. One of them has the head of the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
one of them has this guard's head, like, yeah, in place of where, like, a wolf's head should be.
Oh, jeez.
And they're hauling themselves over the wall.
And then Tuck goes, I hope you don't mind. He stumbles this much, and then he goes, I'm glad I got to give you a little peace of mind. And then he looks around to see if anybody heard that.
And the only people that heard it are dead things. What do you do?
Tuck.
I will add. No, wait. I won't add.
What?
No, I want to hear.
No, you're going to have to do a discern realities if you want to hear what I was going to say. But.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
Tuck does a discern realities to hear what Sean was about to say.
No, that's not what I mean.
No, that's what we're going to do now.
No.
I want to hear it. So that's a 5 plus what?
Wisdom.
Wisdom is 5.
Oh.
Okay. You don't see. There's nothing unusual about this situation.
Fuck.
You okay. Love this.
I do.
Yeah.
And it's not a ton. It is a good, like, hand, like, a good amount of imps, mm-hmm, but not, like, an overwhelming force yet.
Okay.
Well, they're also not very fast, right?
They actually are quite fast, and I think depending on their configuration, they can be faster. Okay. And what do you do?
So, there's a few things I can do. I can defend. Mm-hmm. I can use Staunch Defender and defend.
Yeah.
The other thing I can do is TLC, mm-hmm, where I do a sacrifice in an effort to, like, fight back against the tree.
Okay. Like, to what end?
He wants to, like, cut the tree off.
Oh.
He wants to silence the tree.
Interesting.
And then if he does that, it might, like, make the imps, like, just not alive anymore.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yep.
I think Tuck will do that.
Yeah.
It's almost like him removing the head of Shadow Perel.
Yes.
Oh, in a sense, yeah.
Yeah,
so kind of. There's a precedent for it?
Yeah. He wants to use the axe to, like, sever the connection that the tree has with, like, I guess the metaphysical forces.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So, Terry, Larry, and Chad, you are initiated in the old ways, the ways of sacrifice. Choose something your gods or the ancestor spirits value, blood, gold, bones, or the like. When you sacrifice those things as per your rites and rituals, roll plus wisdom. Fuck. on a 10 plus, the GM will grant you insight into your current trouble or a boon to help you. On a 7 to 9, the sacrifice is not enough and they take up your flesh as well, but you still get the boon.
Mm-hmm.
On a miss, you earn the ire of the fickle spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
2d6 plus wisdom.
Fuck.
4. 4.
Yep.
Oh boy. Then, yeah, tell me what Tuck does. It just doesn't do what you want it to do.
Uh-oh.
So, Tuck... We put the obsidian coins, like, in the all safe,
mm-hmm,
but then Tuck had taken one from Elf Hiddleston that he forgot about.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
So he's going to smash that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Except.
Except it doesn't fucking work.
Okay, so Tuck, you have this coin in your hand that you stole from Hiddleston.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of softball it like you've done in the past. You toss it in the air in front of you.
Yeah. I flick it.
You swing Terry, Larry, and Chad in a practiced arc, mm-hmm, in front of you. And the blade connects and the coin shatters into a million pieces. And as it does, the realm rends in front of you for a moment. And stepping through that void, the Gibbous Man. Well, well, well. Kind of blew it, huh? And I think that's where we're going to end it for this week. I've been your game master, Sean O'Hara. Joining me, as always, playing Tacoma Dome the Barbarian, Abdul Aziz.
So long.
Playing Ving the Half-Elf Druid, Paul Oppers.
Take care.
Playing Fat Billy the Halfling Thief, Jessica Tai.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you to Aaron Reed for our intro and outro music. If you want to hear the music that Aaron has made, check him out at aaronreed.bandcamp.com. And if you want to hear all the music that he's produced for the show, check us out at soundcloud.com. Thank you to all of our supporters around the world for supporting the show. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. If you would like to support us and get access to a bunch of cool bonus stuff, Check us out at patreon.com/speltlore or speltlore.com/moneyplease. Thank you, most of all, to you for listening. We'll see you next time.
And so ends the tale of adventures three, who tried the best they can. Though dumb and scared and lost they be, for time's abreast in revelry. And though our journey may be lie a conclusion, we will not leave you without a resolution. Return next week to hear some more whilst you commute or do your chores. And for you, I'd gladly